this rover.
We're having a free get acquainted session at a resort this weekend.
How much is this free resort weekend?
It's free.
And when is this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Uh-huh. And how much does it cost?
It's free.
I see. And when is it?
It's this weekend.
And what are you charging for this free weekend?
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
A few minutes ago with Jeff Carrot. Hang on a second. I have to adjust my chair.
Oh, boy. What's it doing there?
Oh, wait, what do you got?
Is that the wrong
foot,
chair?
The foot thing. The foot ring.
Here. Yes, I got to swap. This. The other one has the foot ring.
Yeah,
foot.
Up.
Yeah.
The other one has the foot ring up.
Realize how
so,
is that the one with the knife blade as the armrest?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as Frank switches chairs, we have moving the chair that he was sitting in out of the way, and now moving the chair that he wants to sit in with the knife blade as an armrest, and the footrest is up high enough so he can put his feet on the footrest.
It was like they were actually here. That was a great play-by-play. Thank you. Well done. So I talked to the guy on before us, Jeff Carey, is in the hospital. So I talked to him a few minutes ago, and I'll use his real name because this is serious, John Carney. And what you need to understand is I don't know John Carney well at all.
Did you ever meet him?
Well, I met him. I'm being serious. But we don't socialize.
You guys have worked at several stations together.
But we never saw each other.
Right.
And we don't
like
see
most,
each other.
Most radio
we
people.
We see each other here for 30 seconds.
Passing.
So I don't know him. I don't go to his home. He's been my home. We socialize. We don't have... But radio people, by and large, don't. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
We'll hang out together.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hang out with anybody who's in the radio business.
Right.
And they don't want to hang out with me. But he's one of these guys that, whether you like what he does, you don't like what he does, just like whether you like what I do or don't like what I do, I'd like to think that if you were around me, you'd walk away thinking, he's a pleasant guy. And he is. He's a guy that, if you're around him, it's usually enjoyable. Sometimes he's a little over the top, but a lot of people in this business are. But if somebody had to say, you like him or not like him, and most people have to say they like him. You like him.
Absolutely.
But I don't know him, and I don't really know. I know Dan certainly to some degree because he's in the room every day, and we swap stories off the air and pee on, but we don't get into each other's personal lives or really socialize. So I called him, and just to say, you know what, I'm sorry you're having to go through all this, because I am. I'm sorry anybody has to, unless it's somebody I really can't stand. Then you kind of go, tee.
Karma.
Yeah, you deserve it.
My ex-wife, which is the boy's mother.
She's been able to skate so far.
I know, she has.
Yeah.
Voodoo doll hasn't worked.
Some things like that, but there you go.
So I can see you now.
But, yeah.
So get this. He was supposed to have another heart surgery yesterday. Do you know the story?
Yes.
He got shingles.
Yes. Well, he didn't know he had shingles till they admitted him yesterday.
I didn't even know till yesterday he was in the hospital. Because I don't pay any attention to the station, really, and I didn't hear anything. I just thought he was not taking time off on vacation. I didn't know till, I don't know, late yesterday.
Well, I knew he was supposed to go in yesterday and have the surgery.
They admitted him, and then that's when I was talking to his producer, Josh, and he said, yeah, he thought he just had a rash under his arm. Didn't think much of it, and they admitted him to go, oh, you have shingles. We can't do the surgery yet. You have to wait till...
Wow.
What I find interesting about him... And interesting is the only word I come up with, like some other radio people, is they have a hard time carrying on a straight conversation, a serious conversation. I've never thought of myself as somebody who, when I'm not in here, is trying to entertain people. He mentions the shingles. I said, oh, my goodness, I said I had shingles. I said it lasted 7 weeks. I said, so they can't do the surgery until that's gone. That's going to be a while. He said, well, he says, they're pumping me full of, and he gave me the name Valtrex or something. It's the same thing they told me to take, but they told me only take it 7 days. And I still had this crap for 7 weeks. I don't know that it did anything. And he said, they're pumping it full of, he says, and then of course he has to say, yeah, these things look like some kind of sexual AIDS. And I thought, it can't even go 2 minutes without trying to be funny. And that's okay. It's okay. So he says that they tell him that the way they're pumping him full
of this
stuff.
How they administer the...
When he said pumping, I assumed intravenous.
Right.
I don't
Apparently
know.
Apparently not. Maybe he's getting something that looks like a
hope
sexual
rectal
aid. Where else would it go?
I hope it's rectally inserted. He said, with that, they ought to be able to get rid of the shingles in 7 to 10 days. But what's he had, like 4 heart procedures or something?
I think this is number three.
Yeah,
after his original dissection.
Yeah. So, you know, how can you not, if you're a human being, just feel bad for anybody? Unless, again, it's somebody you really, really despise. That's a lot to go through. But he sounded okay. And he said, you know, you just sort of get used to it after a while. And I said, well, here's the only reason that I can relate to that. The first time they entered me from behind for...
Who are you talking about now?
Doctors.
Oh, doctors. you need to preface that. Believe me,
lift that.
That clip will never see the light of day.
What a mistake.
They entered me from behind.
How much do you want? So, the first time I had that prostate, not exam, but procedure for what they detected.
Oh, the...
The fear factor, because you don't know what to... I tell you, we're going to go in, we're going to take a sample.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Biopsy.
There's only one way they can do that. They go in and pinch off a chunk. And so the first time, the unknown is what's really frightening, because you go, oh my goodness, what's this going to be like? What's it going to feel? Are they going to give me something? They're going to knock me out? What are we going to do? And then after the second or third, you know what's coming. And
you don't jump as much.
Well, maybe you wouldn't. Joke, I still jump. But maybe. So I understood what he was saying. It's like that unknown is gone. You know what it is. If I told you what I'd had done to my eyes... You wouldn't even believe it.
Oh, I couldn't even. I can't even.
Over the years.
Just thinking about it, I have to close my eyes.
I tried to tell Paul Harris one time one of the procedures I had, and he said, stop it. He said, I will pass out. He said, he can't stand he can't watch somebody put a contact lens in.
Yeah. Yes,
He's really squeamish about that. So I do kind of get it, because now when I go in and they go, well, now we want to get your eye pressure. Well, they take your pressure by putting a, looks like a thermometer thing, up against your pupil, pressing it lightly, beep, reads the pressure. They've told me there are people, they have to clamp their eyes open. Mm-hmm. They cannot sit there and watch something come right toward and touch their eye. That's a piece of cake for me. That's nothing.
It's your body's defense mechanism when it's trying to protect yourself.
They'll hold my eye open. The doctor will hold my eye open when I do that. But I have those numbing drops in them, though, which helps.
Well, of course you do when you get a pressure test, but it doesn't matter. Some people still, when they see it coming at them, they just freak out. My daughter's boyfriend... And she found this out by accident. They were somewhere together, and he just barely cut his hand on something. He dropped. Boom. Oh. Unconscious. Out. The sight of blood. He drops like a rock. And she thought he had a heart attack or something.
Man.
And when they brought him to, he said, I'm sorry. He said, but I can't look at blood. And that she didn't even know. It's good to know.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I've heard of other people like that.
My son, my oldest son... was like that with a needle when the doctor would come in or the nurse to give him a shot.
Yeah.
Pass out as soon as he saw the needle.
When they take blood from you, do you watch the needle go in?
No.
I do.
I don't either.
Oh, and I got to mention something. I had blood drawn yesterday at MD Health and Wellness. Her name was Jennifer. She's only been there a month. And when I sat down and they put that, you know, they put that rubber band thing around the top of your arm to kind of close off. And I said, Jennifer, how good are you at this? And she said, well, I think I'm pretty good. I said, well, I'm watching you. I'm going to watch that needle go in. And I've had it all. I've had where it hurt like crazy, where they had to punch 4 or 5 times, even move to the different arm because they couldn't get it right. So let's see how you stack up. And I'm not kidding when I say this. It's the only time I've ever had blood drawn where even watching it, I did not feel one thing. Not even that little first tiny little, you can say prick if it's a needle prick. It was like she pushed it into melted butter.
Wow.
And I said, all right, you win the all-time award for the greatest blood sample taker. There's a name for that. Lobotomist or phlebotomist or something?
Yes, I believe that's
it. It's called something when you take blood. But I get it when he said you kind of get used to it. So we hope he pulls through. We hope eventually this crap gets over with. There's some things, though, that, you know, you just throughout your life, you just have to keep dealing with. And you never know why some people get this hand of cards and other people. That's the one great mystery we'll never figure out, is why do some really good families have to bear the burden of a severely disabled child? Or a family member that has a horrible accident where they're, fed with a tube for the rest of their life. We'll never figure that out. I mean, because you can't blame it on, well, it's karma. They did something bad. No, they didn't. And how about the people that do nothing but bad, and they just skate?
Oh, right.
They got a big boat and a house and the jet, and even maybe they're really wealthy, and they just party, and they do everything wrong. We'll never figure it out. I guess we're not supposed to figure it out. So, welcome. Finally, I'm getting around to this. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It is July 25th, in case you don't know that. And many times I don't know the date. I have to go, hey, what's the date today? Well, it's July 25th. It's also another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Now, I don't know how they pulled it off, but while Mr. Carney is out, they got Dale Earnhardt, apparently, in his show. That's big.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard a little bit of the interview with the transgender pilot.
Zoe Tur.
Yeah. She, he, it. Well-spoken. Interesting. But here's my question to you. Could you date a girl if you knew she used to be a boy? My answer is no.
Oh, I don't think most heterosexual people could do that.
Well, then what guys are dating her if they're not heterosexual? They're not going to be gay guys because she talked about dating. She's not a gay guy because she didn't have penis anymore. They like penises. Did you know that, gay guys?
What?
Yeah, they like penis. So they're not going to date her. If you're saying a heterosexual guy, who dates her? Because she mentioned dating guy. I think there are a lot of curiosity.
Sure, I think that's part of it.
Kinky kind of weirdos out there.
I think the bisexual people, bisexual males.
All right, there's a good answer.
And I would think some gay males would, because I'm sure gay guy would, you know, they like more feminine men to date.
I don't know, but then they
some
have
of them
women
like a motorcycle gang member type gay guy. So
right. Well, then you have, we talked before about Mike Evans, his brother, who is now
sister.
His Brister. Oh, yes.
Mike's Brister.
And the greatest story in the world would be is if we find out that he tricked us and he just flipped it. He's trans.
Yeah, he's.
He used to be Michelle Evans.
Yeah.
Now you got a story. If he wants to top all his other stories, he can lay that on us. By the way, I need to tell you guys something. I used to be Michelle Evans, reporter for the New York Post.
That'd be an ugly woman.
But my answer is no. Right or wrong, and there is no right or wrong. It's preference. My answer is no. I have seen women who were formerly men that, I'm not kidding, I couldn't tell. They were good looking.
Oh, yeah.
And then once somebody said, you know that's a guy, or you know that used to be a guy.
Used to be a guy.
I'm out.
I think they have, I think in Thailand, Thailand's huge, like Zoe said, she went to Thailand to get the surgery done because I think it's a lot cheaper in Thailand, and they have a lot of, they call them ladyboys that,
ladyboy?
Yeah, in Thailand. Well, did you ever see The Hangover?
The Hangover,
I think it was the second one where they go to Thailand.
I didn't see
But
ladyboy.
Yes. So I think they have a huge transgender segment of society in Thailand. But we are back to Mike Evans. Brister, she is also with a man who
also
transgender to a woman. So how do you figure that out?
Well, one of them has original parts and the other one doesn't, the way I understand it.
Okay.
But don't even, you'll get a headache.
Right.
Don't even try to decide.
To figure out what they were attracted to. Or
exactly.
What. It's just.
You can't do it.
Well, this guy that they hit on was a helicopter pilot during the.
I'm sorry, Dan, you mean this woman?
I mean the woman.
Yeah. Zoe, right?
Zoe was a helicopter pilot.
We know that.
But the other, competitor.
We know that. Was also,
yeah.
A pilot who became a woman.
Yeah.
Everybody already knows that.
And now they're buddies, I guess. They hated each other before.
See, he's trying to go till he tells us something we don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize, that everybody already knows that. He's trying to save it. Too late. No, they are. They were competitors. Now they're buddies. Just like here.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people in particular here that work here that I don't care for. But down the road, forget it. Not going to happen. So I've welcomed everybody, and this is where I say, if you let us take a quick break, it'll be pretty quick, 4 or 5 minutes. No, maybe not. I see Mr. Londoff. I get to do it today.
Yeah.
So it will be quick. Take a quick break. We come back. We'll do the Burke segment. We'll take some calls, and time flies, as you know. Maximilian Foyce will be in here after the 4 o'clock news. Talk about movies and how most everything he loves I can't stand, and most everything I really like he doesn't like. But maybe it's a generational thing. And if you'd like to call, we'll talk to you too. First, the business that keeps us in business. The business of Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Now, yesterday, and he does this often, he acknowledged, but the list was unusually long yesterday. He acknowledged AM and the PM buyers. He had a whole list of them yesterday. And I might tell you, that's a partial list, a very small portion of the people who in the last day or two who've bought Chevys or pre-owned vehicles who are AM and the PM. You have no idea how good that makes us feel. You also may not have any idea that without that, for him and the other advertisers, no show shows off the air. So thank you, and I should probably thank you more often than I do. Even those of you who went there to shop, and for whatever reason, you didn't buy there, we still thank you, because we know that if you told them you're AM and the PM, that the show is the reason that you were there. That's very important. If they don't make the deal, that's either on them, or it's just loyal listeners who wanted to give Chevy a chance, or they're pre-owned, and they needed something specific pre-owned right now, and even though Londoff can find it, they didn't have time. We understand. We still thank you for giving them a chance. Now, I'll go ahead and thank everybody in advance who's never been there, because I'm telling you, there are lots of you listening who've never been to Johnny Londoff, and I think you will eventually go there, and I'll tell you why. At some point, you're going to want to find out for yourself whether the things I've been telling you are true or not. Just like with my dentist. I can't be right. You go to a dentist and then never again, you're never afraid again? Yes, it can. And it's also true that if you hate buying a car, and I use car to include everything, crossover, truck, SUV, the whole thing. If you hate it, And you've been sitting out there for years thinking, yeah, he's a pretty good salesman, but no, I'm not buying it. There's no way I'll ever enjoy buying a vehicle. That tells me you've never been to Landoff. So all we ask, if you want to call me on it, then go. Just go. Go shop there. Give them a chance. And then you tell me. You tell me if it was a great experience or if it just, you know, reaffirmed sort of your dread and hatred of buying a vehicle. It's all we ask. You know where they are. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 North County, where they've been for decades and decades. This is 1960. How many decades is that? Quick, peon.
Six. Five.
Five and a
almost
half.
Six.
Almost six. 5.7. or five, yeah, 5.7 decades. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, 24/7 at Landoff.com.
All right, let's send it out to Tim Weiland and check on traffic. Tim?
Okay, Dan, I don't really see anything out of the ordinary going on right now. You do have some slow traffic on southbound 270 from approaching Highway 40 through Doherty Ferry, eastbound 40 Union Station to the Poplar, westbound from Kings Highway. It looks like it's running through McCausland, the usual spot. We may have an incident, it looks like, on northbound 61 at Highway A that has traffic backed up south of Highway 70. And if you're traveling on eastbound 270, just a little bit heavy either side of Lindbergh. And this traffic report is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The first week of August is National Minority Donor Awareness Week, when we honor minority organ, eye, and tissue donation. Learn more, go to organdonor.gov. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
We're St. Louis's biggest conversation. The Big 550 KTRS. KTRS.
Hi, John Grayson for Premier Heating and Cooling. You know that this summer has taught us one thing and one thing only, and that's the importance of air conditioning. Well, Premier Heating and Cooling is there for you, whether it's the dog days of summer or the cold of winter. 636-916-1122, the oldest and most experienced American Standard customer care dealer in the St. Louis and St. Charles area. And they're so good that they've noticed now some of their competitors are now calling themselves the Premier AC Service. Not even close. Make sure that when you call, you get the original. Premier Heating and Cooling, 636-916-1122. Free estimates on any service that needs to be done. 24-hour emergency service available. Financing for the bigger jobs and maintenance agreements that can save you a lot of money over time. But the most important thing is that experience. 25 years, residential and commercial HVAC. If it's too hot in your house or too cold in your business, give them a call. They'll make it right. 636-916-1122, Premier Heating and Cooling.
Credit card debt is like quicksand. Once you fall into it, it's almost impossible to get out. That's because once they've trapped you, the credit card companies keep sucking you deeper into debt with outrageous interest rates and fees. But now you can pull yourself out of debt just by reaching for your phone and calling Credit Associates. If you owe $5,000 or more on your credit cards and you can't afford to pay off your debt, you don't have to. Let us settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe. We'll even show you how much you could save. For free information, call 1-800-900-1802. You can get completely free from debt faster than you ever imagined, without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee. You've got nothing to lose but your debt. So reach for your phone and pull yourself out of debt with this life-changing free information from Credit Associates. 1-800-900-1802. That's 1-800-900-1802.
Since 1974, homeowners in the greater St. Louis area have trusted PermaJack more than any other contractor when their house is settling or if they have bowing and buckling walls. But who do you call when you notice water in the basement? Well, it's also PermaJack. The representatives at PermaJack are extremely knowledgeable in all aspects of foundation repair, including leaky basements. PermaJack provides permanent solutions to all your nagging water problems, whether it's a simple crack repair or a comprehensive drain system. They will make sure your basement remains dry, and they'll back it up with a written guarantee. So for home settling problems, bowing and buckling walls, or if you have a leaky basement, call the company St. Louis has trusted for over 30 years, PermaJack. Call PermaJack today at 636-225-2553. That's 636-225-2553. Family owned and operated since 1974. When your building needs a helping hand, solid as a rock, PermaJack. 636-225-2553.
Hey, would you buy a house without looking inside? Well, of course not. Well, shouldn't you? you be just as diligent when choosing a financial advisor? Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. And just as a house is more than four walls, well, a financial advisor is more than just a nice office. Now, what's their background? Do they work in your best interest as a fiduciary? What's their financial specialty? Now, you want to know all these things because the chances are, over your lifetime, you're going to trust them with far more than the value of your home. Because knowledge and experience count for a lot in retirement income planning. Here in St. Louis, you need to know Ken and Lori Heise and the team at the Heise Advisory Group. Call them now at 314-328-6000. That's 314-328-6000. Don't be cavalier with your financial assets. Heise Advisory Group, 314-328-6000.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AEWM and Heise Advisory Group are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Hi, it's Jennifer Blome with some great news from my friends at Sound Health Services. They have now opened ENT Now. ENT Now is a walk-in clinic at Manchester and 270 in DePere Square that offers same-day care for ear, nose, or throat conditions. ENT Now. No appointments necessary. Open 7 to 7 Monday to Friday and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Walk in or call 314-729-0077 or online at soundhealthservices.com. ENT Now.
Right now at CeCe's, party with bacon stuffed crust and new grilled cheese stuffed crust pizza. Joining the original topped with pepperoni on the unlimited buffet. Just five and change at CeCe's. Prices may vary.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Back, and I told you it'd be quick. And I say, before we do the Burke segment, let's hear from whoever you are out there. Let's do this. We don't care what you talk about. Unlike most real professional shows, they've mapped out a show. We don't do that, so we don't care. So call us. Here we go. From most cell phones, star KTRS, which is star 5877. The reason I'm doing this is the phones are already ringing. Other phones would be 314-969-KTRS, which again is 5877 or 888-550-KTRS. Now, I know this name. This is either the Steve Davis that we know, or it's another Steve Davis. Is this the Steve Davis we know?
Yes, sir. Steve Davis Elvis impersonator.
Then we're really busy, and I'm sorry, we don't have time.
Yeah, if it was a different Steve Davis, we would.
Yeah, if it was another one, we'd go, what can we do for you? Steve, how are you?
I'm fine, and don't forget I'm aiming the PM.
No, we'll never forget that. We'll never forget it. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm between gigs, and I'm listening, as most loyal people are.
Hang on, you're never between gigs. You do more gigs than anybody I've ever heard of. How can you be between gigs?
Well, I am, okay. And at the risk of, you were talking about transgender people and things.
You're not going to. Are you going to tell us that you used to be Stephanie Davis? You're not, are you?
No, I would not tell you that.
Okay.
No.
See, he didn't say it wasn't true. He said he wouldn't tell us.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I, as a student of history, and specifically, I enjoy studying military history.
Uh-huh.
I came across the strangest story I've ever come across. It was in the post America's post Civil War. The laundry was done by a group of women, and
as it should be in the good old days.
Well, in fact, some of these women were of ill repute in those days, and
also should be.
Well, General Hooker the Civil War, he actually auditioned women himself, and hence that became a part of the lexicon of the American language. Girls that did prostitution will be known as hookers. Girls are plainly hookers.
All right, how do we know you didn't make that up?
He's a student of history.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a student of history.
Well, wasn't there fake news even back then? Like somebody could have made that up back
That brings us to the story. So,
and by the way, don't ever use big words like lexicon with us. We don't talk like that here.
Okay.
We're very simple, plain and simple people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right.
What else do you
have? So anyway, so the cavalry... the cavalry was stationed out west.
Thank you for not saying Calvary.
No, sir.
I hear people do that, and they go, they sent out the Calvary. No, the cross. That's where Jesus was on the cross. Okay, I'm sorry. They sent out the cavalry. No. Go ahead.
Well, the cavalry was deployed out west because of hostile Indians, and so what happened next was the laundry girls went along, and there was a group of about 75 of them stationed at Fort Lincoln, North Dakota, and the post commander there was one George Armstrong Custer, and they had about 600 people on that post. And
now you're about to tell us another little known fact that it was below zero, and that's how we got frozen Custer. Thank you, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm bad about interrupting.
In any event, Elizabeth Custer, the general's wife, she wanted to make, as kind of the social director of the post, she wanted to make sure all people were included in various social functions.
Listen how smart he is.
I know.
And among the laundresses, but some of these girls were like in their early teens, like they ran away from home because they couldn't handle daddy's rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the eldest and probably the least attractive of them was an older woman, that went by the name of Old Nash.
Now, you know what? I thought you were going to say that the eldest was named Eldest Presley.
No.
Thanks, everybody. Eldest Presley. Dan, you would have done it. If I hadn't done it, you would have done it.
I know.
Go ahead, Steve.
So anyway, she was not a real attractive woman. She was known as Mrs. Nash. And in fact, Elizabeth Custer writes in her diary that she was always, often very worried that Mrs. Nash was not the social butterfly of some of the younger girls in the laundry unit, and that she wanted to make sure to tell her brother-in-law, Tom Custer, and some of the cadre members that they make sure that they dance with Mrs. Nash at some of these social functions.
Mm.
And as it turned out, there's only one known photograph of Sergeant John Noonan. He was kind of a man's man, had a very thick, full mustache. The daguerrean photograph shows him on a grizzly bear hunt with the general in the Black Hills of North Dakota, and it shows Custer. I'm sure you've all seen pictures of George Custer.
Oh, sure.
And John Noonan is standing there with him, and the two men in the foreground are Indian scouts, and they just obviously shot this grizzly bear. That's the only known photo of Noonan. And so they convinced Noonan to dance with Mrs. Nash, and he eventually, at some point in the future, becomes attracted to Mrs. Nash, and he marries her.
Now, did you not say she was unattractive?
Well, according to the research I've given on this, Mrs. Custer, she's the greatest domestic housekeeper west of the Platte River.
She could
make apple pies. She could clean. She'd do the cure for snake bites.
As it should be.
And she was present for, like, she was the midwife that delivered, like, 300 children at Fort Abraham Lincoln.
She did it all.
So, wow.
Yeah, well, she was the go-to resource. She even taught Sunday school.
But not a babe.
No, she was rather urn-shaped, and the diary said that she even had, at times, like, patches of like, whisker hair on her chin.
I like that look. That's a good look. That is a good look.
Oh,
there.
Mama.
Easy.
Anyway, I did it again.
No, you've done it four times.
I know.
You get a pass because you're Steve Davis. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, the story goes that Noonan marries Nash, and finally they get deployed to go out and fight hostile Indians. So Custer, as you know, has a very bad ending to his unit on the 25th of June, 1876.
That's right.
And Noonan's unit is the 5th Cavalry, and they go a little further west to fight Shoshone and Arapaho Indians, which didn't prove to be an altercation at all. And while the men are deployed, Mrs. Noonan, she indicates to the girls in the unit that she's not feeling terribly well and that she's going to probably pass away here in the next 48 hours. And she instructs them that when they go to call the undertaker, don't make a big fuss about her, just bury her without any ceremony.
Mm.
And sure enough, shortly after she gave them that direction, she passed away, and they couldn't stand it. That was their greatest friend they've ever had in their life, and they called the undertaker over to come prepare the body.
Now, this is Mrs. Nash who died, or Mrs. Noonan?
Yeah, she married John Noonan.
So Nash then became Noonan. Okay, yeah. Okay, so
Mrs.
she died.
Noonan.
Okay.
So when he goes to remove her petticoats, it's discovered that Nash here has been impersonating a woman on this post for over 14 years, that she was indeed a man.
Wow. Oh, boy.
In fact, Harper's Weekly, they very, very profanely issued a statement saying that the housekeeper for the Custer family had testicles the size of a bull, which I thought was rather profane.
Oh, I'll say.
Now, here's just what Dan says. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
But wow. But make the story, to make the story worse is
I thought you were going to say to make the story short. Too yeah. late.
No, too late for that. But yeah. when Noonan came home from the field, you know, there was a great tragedy. The 7th Cavalry was that two units were annihilated. When Noonan's unit comes home, General Sturgis had him immediately arrested for immoral behavior. Now, at the time, the Uniform Code of Military Justice didn't have a code for homosexuality, so he signed a petition and bore the signature of General Sturgis that he was being drummed out on, like, an Article 111, which at the time was sex with a horse. Which
wow.
harkens, which harkens the idea of why that was even the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But he claimed that he was innocent. He claimed that he had been married to Noonan lawfully and that they were husband and wife. And he was surprised that she was a man because he said that they never consummated their marriage. And he was...
After 14 years, right?
No. He was only married to her for only about 3 months before he was in the field.
Oh.
Mm.
And they never consummated the marriage.
That's not unusual. My wife and I didn't do it for 9 years.
Well, he was so distraught, he got fired from the Army, and he had to take a job as a blacksmith's assistant in Minot. He finally had to take his Sharps carbine rifle, and he shot his head off.
Whoa.
So at the National Cemetery...
Have you inhaled yet? Have you inhaled?
Have I what?
Inhaled yet?
Yeah. No. At the National Cemetery in Gary Owen, Montana, the home of the Battle of Little Bighorn, there is a grave for Sergeant John Noonan, and then next to it is another grave that says Unknown Noonan. And so that's the only, according to some people, that's the only grave in our national cemetery chain that actually has what appears to be a same-sex marriage.
Well, let me give you a little thing you can add to this when you're telling the story that you didn't know. Noonan had a sister, and his sister married a guy by the name of Gabriel Alejandra Knight. Okay?
Here it comes.
She took a hyphenated name, and they were both killed together and had a ceremony buried at the same time, and the headline of the paper said, "Everyone is mourning Noon and Night." Thank you. Thank you. I just made that up.
Oh, my gosh. You're a genius.
Steve, why aren't you a history teacher, for goodness sake?
I did. I taught history for a while.
Well, that kind of helps explain it. You know, you're way too smart for us. I've never known a guy, and I don't know you that well, but the few times I've been around you, there's no story that you can tell in under 10 minutes.
No.
It's impossible.
Oh, I know.
That's not a bad thing. It's just that you know so much. You don't just find out the story. You go find out every leg, every offshoot to the story.
I take the path less traveled.
Yes, you do. Yes,
you know, when I was up at Gary Owen, Montana, looking at the National Cemetery, all the graves have the American flags for the veterans, and right there in front where Noonan and the unknown Noonan are buried, there's like this big rainbow bouquet of flowers from the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the ranger, I said, now, what, because I kind of consider the ranger at these parks to be a bit more studied than I would ever be. And I asked him, I said, what his opinion was of this story, and he claims it to be a gay story, and I'm not certain of that. I just know there was a summary court-martial with no due process, and a suicide, and a mystery about a woman that was, impersonating
a woman. And Noonan had a brother, and I don't know if you knew this. He was 7 feet 5 inches tall. And back then, they didn't use the word tall. They just go, somebody was high, and there's a movie about it, High Noonan. I know, this is only going to get worse.
But you know,
what?
Some people can look on the internet and find the story. I found that to be just absolutely fascinating.
No, it is fascinating because back then, you know that when the coroner pulled the thing, went, what? She's got what down there?
Yeah,
I mean, that was a big story.
He even puts it in his journal. His journal published. His journal was published, and it said in the journal, this is not a hermaphroditic condition. This was an actual man impersonating a woman for 12 years on this post. And she fooled everybody. Well, I mean, she fooled Custer, his brother, his wife, and the 60 gals that worked with him.
Well, there were hermaphrodites back then.
Well, sure.
And the way they dealt with it was, let's say someone was born with two sets of genitalia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I studied a little history, they would camouflage or cover up one set so they would be known as either a man or a woman. So let's say they wanted to cover the vaginal thing and just have a penis. They created a paste. It was like a flower paste known as hermaphrodildo.
Oh, my.
See, it was a dough.
Steve.
It was dough.
Hermaphrodil.
It was like flour, like
right.
dough.
Hermaphrodil.
So, but it was hermaphrodil dough.
Steve just went, wow. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Well, he said that because that's something he didn't know.
Yes.
So I know. This is the learning station.
It is. No, it is. Wow, we've all learned so much here today.
Anyway, I just thought I'd pass along that little bit of extravagant news from the 18th century, or from the 19th century.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're all smarter now, and you know that you're welcome to call anytime.
Well, I appreciate that. Don't forget, I love you all, and I'm AM in the PM.
All right, TCB, man. TCB, talk to you later. Steve Davis. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet, yes. One of the longest-winded people you'll ever meet, and a guy who can say more exhaling than anybody. You know that guy that can stay underwater 22 minutes? That's a true story. He holds a record. I think Steve can exhale for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. So, wow, we learned a lot. I didn't know that. Way, way back then, they discovered, and that woman had masqueraded. I just don't understand. It must have been pretty normal to be with somebody a long, long time and not have sex.
Yeah.
They have to be, because
right.
how do you hide that?
Well, he was out in battle, so maybe right after getting married, he went to battle right away. And just,
honey, I'm sorry. When I get back, we'll get it on.
Yes.
And
yeah.
he's thinking, no, we won't.
Yes.
but you don't know that yet. Wow. and I'm not surprised he was a history teacher for a short time. That was Steve Davis, the Elvis. What would you call him? Elvis impersonator. It throws him in too big a pool. You know, he's a terrific
entertainer. Yeah.
Who does an impression of Elvis, but doesn't take himself too seriously, because if you've ever seen his show, he'll say things like he'll look at somebody in the audience and go, "Come on, I'm dead, and I can clap better than that." You know what I mean?
Yes.
it's funny. So he speaks as a dead Elvis, as a live Elvis, and it's been very entertaining. All right, now you folks can thank Steve for us not having enough time to talk to you. Except I could probably get one more, couldn't I? Couldn't I get one more?
Let's
go talk to Bill. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Wrong one.
No, wrong one. I'm sorry. This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Hey, at the risk of bringing a serious conversation to this hilarity.
No, you can do that.
All right. You guys ought to look up on the internet, and if you go in and you say sexual, if you say gender versus sexual attraction,
okay,
you'll get a full rendition of what I'm about to tell you. But in the gay community, and I have a few folks in my family, there's no connection between gender identification and sexual attraction.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Well, that means, let's say you were born a guy and you wanted to be a woman all your life.
Okay.
You aren't necessarily attracted to men or women, or you would think, if I want to be a woman and I'm a man, I'm attracted to men. Right. Not necessarily. And it gets incredibly complicated.
It already is. So you're saying that this pilot, who was a man, became a woman, but that doesn't mean necessarily that she's attracted now to men.
Correct.
But in her case, she said in the interview that she was, but what you're saying is that's not always the case. They still have that that chromosomal whatever basic need to for men to be attracted to men. Even though they've turned into a woman, they still are attracted to women.
Mike's sister did that when he, right? No, Mike's brother.
Now, see, you know
what? Wait a minute. Mike's brother became his sister. Right. So it became a woman.
Right.
And then the person that she is married to was a woman and became a man. Right. And they hooked up. So that's kind of that way,
I'm
too.
I'm really confused. Bill, I appreciate that explanation.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And, of course, for listening. And now we're up against it. And, again, send your thank you notes to Steve Davis for that, that long but interesting story about Mrs. Nash.
And Noonan.
Who married Noonan and went from Mrs. Nash to, or Miss Nash to Noonan. And actually then when she died, they found out that she had male genitalia. Wow, what a great story. Now, there is a place in France where the women wear no pants. I believe we've established that. There's also a place in Chesterfield Valley where there's a building with a copper dome on it. Not real copper. For you copper thieves, don't be thinking we're going to get up there in the middle of the night and take that copper. It's copper colored. It's called a Minis, A-M-I-N-I-S. It's not just in the valley, it's down in the valley.
Valley so low.
Ooh, hang on, we need a harmonica.
I know.
Hang on, we got to do this again. Okay, edit out, and let's go back, pick up the edit here. It's not just in the valley, it's down in the valley.
Valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
Yeah. Thank you. So it is right there in the heart of Chesterfield Valley. Please go in there, please. This is going to be a beautiful weekend. Nice 80s, low 80s, thank goodness. Lows at night, maybe even down the upper 60s. Get into a Meanies, take your time, look around. And I have to thank, oh my goodness, hang on here. I got this email. Oh my goodness, I hope I have time to get it. I meant to pull it out earlier. Hang on, hang on. Bear with me, bear with me. Here it is right here, short but sweet. Frank, I just bought a vintage pinball machine at a Meanies. What a great place. It'll be delivered next week. I talked with your favorite salesperson, Eric, Kathy, and I won't mention her last name because then everybody's going to want to come to Kathy's house and play pinball. You're going to love that pinball machine. Kathy, thank you for your giving a Meanies your business and for listening to the show and to the rest of you. If you've never been to a Meanies, your reaction is going to be just that. What a great place. Plan to take plenty of time. They're not going to run you out early. If you don't buy anything, it's fine. You need to see the place. It'll give you something to shoot for. I'm going to come back. Oh, they got a tremendous sale right now on area rugs. Check that out. Go to their website, A-M-I-N-I-S, aminis.com. Apologies to Tim Weiland. We didn't get traffic in, but who cares? Is it really that important at 4 o'clock? Probably not. It is.